A war correspondent who'd spent a decade covering revolutions across Latin America walked into a San Francisco church on a cloudy morning with zero intention of becoming religious. Sarah Miles, raised by militantly secular parents in Greenwich Village, shaped by restaurant kitchens and conflict zones, simply wanted to see an interesting building. Then someone placed bread in her hands and said, "The body of Christ," and everything changed. She found herself physically unbalanced, knocked sideways by something she couldn't explain. "Jesus happened to me," she writes, struggling to reconcile what she thought was happening, eating bread, what someone said was happening, receiving Christ's body, and what she knew was happening, God was suddenly impossibly real. That moment launched her into the messiest, most radical expression of Christianity imaginable, one that would eventually feed hundreds of San Francisco's hungriest residents from the altar of an Episcopal church. Miles inherited a complicated religious legacy. Both sets of grandparents were missionaries, establishing medical missions in Burma, teaching in Japan, merging faith with civil rights activism. Yet her parents, Matthew and Betty, rejected this heritage entirely, building a sophisticated Manhattan life deliberately stripped of religious context. Their Sundays revolved around secular rituals, unfolding the New York Times like scripture, playing Vivaldi like hymns, preparing artichokes with ceremonial precision. Religion belonged to other people, Italian Catholics, Orthodox Jews, not intellectuals who replaced faith with art galleries and psychoanalysis. This upbringing cultivated skepticism toward institutional authority alongside mystical appreciation for physical experience. Her parents encouraged direct engagement with the world through travel, experimentation, and labor, teaching her to trust her senses over abstract promises. Ironically, this emphasis on tangible reality was preparing her for Christianity's most physical sacrament, where ordinary bread becomes divine presence. At 18, Miles traveled to Mexico City for Friends World College, a radical Quaker communist experiment with no formal courses. Working at a human rights organization, she witnessed the Corpus Christi massacre, government thugs killing student protesters. Politics became visceral rather than theoretical. Back in America, she found her education in restaurant kitchens under Robert, a black chef who taught her more than cooking. "Take the weight," he'd insist. "Never shift blame, claim your mistakes, make them right." The kitchen taught her to become invisible in uniform, find solidarity through shared labor, understand how food creates community. A bishop would later tell her something she'd already learned over stoves. "There's a hunger beyond food that's expressed in food, and that's why feeding is always a kind of miracle." After a burn injury ended her restaurant work, Miles spent a decade covering revolutionary wars across Latin America. In Nicaragua, El Salvador, and the Philippines, she witnessed horrific violence alongside profound human connection. What surprised her most was discovering joy amid suffering, the deep intimacy of sharing life and death experiences with strangers. Throughout these war zones, strangers fed her freely despite poverty and danger. These acts of sharing amid scarcity taught her what she would later recognize as Christianity, the profound communion possible between people through their common mortal bodies. When Miles entered St. Gregory's Episcopal Church, morning light illuminated a rotunda centered on a table beneath a neo-Byzantine mural. A woman announced, "Jesus invites everyone to his table." When someone placed fresh bread in her hands and wine on her lips, Miles was physically knocked over, crying uncontrollably. The disconnect between eating bread, being told this was Christ's body, and knowing God was real in her mouth short-circuited everything. She scrambled for rational explanations, hypersuggestibility, a contact high from believers, pent-up sadness. Yet that impossible word, Jesus, lodged in her like a radioactive pellet that would outlive my flesh. She was drawn to St. Gregory's immediacy, communion unmediated by altar rails, the raw physicality of that mystical meal, the invitation to participate without requirements. Her conversion wasn't a greeting card moment of sudden certainty. It was socially awkward, politically uncomfortable, profoundly confusing. She wasn't struck with conviction about truth. She was crabbier, lonelier, more destabilized. What grounded her were those pieces of bread. She was developing a theology starting with what she had taken in her mouth, the materiality of Christianity, the incarnation in its grungiest details, the promise that words and flesh were deeply connected. Standing at the altar week after week, Miles saw a vision. Sunday communion expanded, bigger, brighter, noisier, with more kids and fewer ripe people, centered on food. San Francisco was food-obsessed, yet access varied drastically by neighborhood. In the mission, immigrants ate poor people's food, while hunger lurked beneath the surface. A food bank flyer mentioned 90,000 hungry San Franciscans. Miles realized her calling, "Feed my sheep." Church staff objected immediately, "Over my dead body," fearing dangerous people and damage to their beautiful space. Miles persisted, framing it not as outreach, but gratitude, acknowledging our own hunger while sharing God's abundance. She was admittedly manipulative, knowing Christians couldn't easily argue against feeding the poor. 35 people showed up on opening day. They laid altar cloths on folding tables stacked with produce, cereal, noodles, and bread. "It smells good in here," Donald said, "like a grocery store." The pantry quickly grew to nearly 200 people weekly. Tables circled the altar, creating a farmer's market with vegetables spilling under icons and silver crosses. It wasn't hushed and pious, it was loud and holy, with prostitutes and disabled people, widows and foreigners, thieves and children gathering in almost biblical atmosphere. The pantry drew Miles deeper into community through its volunteers, mostly pantry deacons who came for groceries, then stayed to help. They were misfits, jobless, homeless, mentally ill, poor. Miles saw herself in them. Her favorites had restaurant backgrounds. Lawrence, a former maitre d', Dave, an unemployed cook, plus Homer, Phil the speed freak, and Starlight Wanderer with her psychedelic drawings. When Paul Frumberg, a priest, insisted they couldn't eat alone, everything changed. They began cooking lunch together weekly, their menu evolving from simple soups to pork tenderloin with cumin orange rub, chocolate torte with creme anglaise. The kitchen became their confessional and classroom. While chopping vegetables and stirring sauces, they discussed everything from knife skills to theology. Paul declared that the message of Jesus is the only sure cure for religion. This was theology learned through the senses, hands kneading dough, ears catching wisdom between timer dings, tongues tasting both food and truth. The food pantry became a living parable of God's kingdom, where hunger drew people together and every shared meal became a sacrament. Communion remained central to Miles' faith. Bread and wine transformed into life. When she gave Millie, her friend dying of cancer, the sacrament during treatment, they shared profound peace. Driving home, Miles found herself saying, "Oh my God, it's real." After Millie died, Miles anointed her body as friends gathered, praying, "All of us go down to the dust, yet even at the grave we make our song, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia." Christianity wasn't an argument to win. It was a mystery she was finally willing to swallow. She came out to her mother as a Christian over a meal of bread, wine, and lamb. Though her mother had rejected her parents' religion, she listened with unexpected kindness. They shared wine and song, not official Eucharist, but real communion, a foretaste of the heavenly banquet where none are left behind. At the pantry, these eternal moments continue, volunteers sorting apples, tables filling with people from all walks of life. The door opens. It is never over. Miles discovered something revolutionary. God shows up most clearly in the simple act of breaking bread together. Your hunger, whether for food, meaning, or connection, isn't something to transcend, but something to honor. When we feed each other, we're tasting heaven.